Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you. The Committee on Judiciary will now come to order. Lisa, please call the roll.
Chair Yarbrough, Vice Chair Burton.
Here.
Senator Berman, Senator DeSigley, Senator Gates, Senator Hooper.
Here.
Senator Leek, Senator Osgood, Senator Pasadomo, Senator Polsky, Senator Trumbull. Quorum is present.
Thank you, Lisa. Senator Leek is excused from today's meeting. As usual, I'll double-check myself. Please silence all electronic devices. Anybody wishing to speak before the committee should complete an appearance form and hand it to a member of the sergeant's office. Should you select to waive your speaking time, your position will be included in the committee meeting records. Good morning, everybody. Happy New Year. We are going to go a little bit out of order and start with tab 5. Tab 5, SB 762 on Offices of Criminal Conflict and Civil Regional Council by Senator Martin. And Senator Martin, I believe there's a strike-all amendment to your bill.
Thank you, Chair. This amendment...
So you're recognized to explain the strike-all amendment, barcode 250350. Now that everybody knows and we're in there, you can please start, sir.
Thank you, Chair. This amendment is technical in nature. It deletes the one-year sunset for the bill and deletes the requirement for the Justice Administrative Commission to forward the reports to the legislature, and the reports mostly being financial because this is a cost savings measure brought to us by one of the regional council.
Thank you. Are there questions on the strike call? Are there appearance forms on the strike call? Seeing none. Do we have debate? Senator Martin, you're recognized to close.
I'll wait.
All in favor of the amendment say yay. Yay. Opposed, nay. The amendment is adopted. We're back on the bill as amended. Again, do we have questions on the bill? Senator, you are recognized.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. So from what I understand is part of what this bill does is you would refer a case to another regional council. Could that regional council decline an appointment?
You're recognized.
Yes.
Okay.
Follow-up, Senator Berman.
Follow-up. Thank
you're
you.
You're recognized.
Any criteria, any requirements for them, or they can just say, I don't want to handle this case?
Senator Martin.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the question. It's entirely optional. This was brought by the regional council that covers my geographic area. Is an opportunity to save money by hiring outside death-certified counsel on the wheel, which oftentimes is extremely expensive to the point where their bills get into the high six figures and sometimes seven figures for the defense of indigents who are charged with capital murder or capital cases, and the public defender, for whatever reason, can't represent them for reasons of conflict, and the local regional council cannot represent them for conflict reasons as well.
Additional questions, Senator Berman?
Thank you, Madam Chair. So that brings up the question about what is the regional council going to be compensated for? Is it the office or the individual attorney who handles the case? What rate are they going to be compensated at when you refer it to the regional council?
Senator Martin.
Thank you. The rate or the compensation is not mentioned in here. However, my regional counsel, Ida Nemoyton, will be speaking briefly, and so she can answer more of those questions about why her office would want to get involved in these cases and what the incentive is to make sure that their bills are paid, but also they're saving the taxpayers' money.
You're recognized, Senator Martin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I do have concerns about having a regional council who's not from the area because there's fewer contacts, no rapport with the prosecutor or investors, stress of having to travel for the hearings. Do you have any concerns that this could lead to lower quality defense in that situation?
Senator Martin.
Thank you. I think though any concerns that you mentioned are far outweighed by the vast amount of experience, the caseload, the investigators, paralegals, the office staff that's already handling those cases, the software to manage That's already part of the regional counsel's office and those death certified defense lawyers in any part of the state. So if they step across jurisdictional bounds, oftentimes that happens in public defender cases or state attorney prosecutor cases, where there's a governor's assignment. They're not being from that area, I don't believe is going to hurt their ability to represent the indigent who's accused. But being part of a law office that has those supports in place will actually help the accused get good representation as well.
Thank you.
Do we have additional questions? Okay. Seeing no additional questions, we do have an appearance form. It is Ita Namoitin. Namoitin, and I tried to listen to Senator Martin when he said your name, and I think I might. Good afternoon. You're recognized.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. Thank you. My name is Ita Namoitin, and I'm the regional counsel for the second region. The reason that we came up with this idea is death penalty are the most expensive category of cases, and this is where we can save the most money, which coincides with our statute to adequately represent clients in a cost-effective manner. May I address the questions?
Please do. Thank you.
Okay. Senator Berman, thank you for your questions. So first of all, I think that because we already function differently than other attorneys, so for instance, I have 5 circuits. So today I have 10 death penalty attorneys who are first chair certified. That's a very large number. And the reason we did that is because we train them in-house. So these attorneys travel currently from circuit to circuit. I understand your question, would it pose additional barriers and difficulties for the clients? I don't think so, because right now the registry attorneys who are covering these areas, some are covering 6 to 15 circuits as well. So they're already traveling throughout the state. And as far as compensation, that's a great question. So the way we did it is we worked with JAC, Justice Administrative Commission, and this is a zero ask in terms of dollars. They created a category for us where the due process costs would come from. And these attorneys would be, at least from my region, these attorneys would be compensated the way they are currently compensated. But the way we calculated it, we have 10 attorneys. With even one attorney taking an extra case, that's $150 million in savings over 10 years. And that doesn't account for the additional death penalty attorneys who would be trained by trying these cases.
Additional comments? Do you have anything else you'd like to say?
So
we don't have any additional questions for you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Absolutely. Chair, you want me to finish this out or you want to step? Okay. Thank you. Do we have debate on the bill as amended? Any debate? Okay, seeing none. Senator Martin, you're recognized to close on the bill as amended.
Thank you, Chair. This is a great opportunity to potentially save a lot of money in the JAC budget. I look forward to seeing the successes that this great idea brought to me by my own regional council has presented. Thank you.
Thank you. Lisa, please call the roll on CS for SB 762.
Senator Berman? Senator DeSigley? Senator Gates? Senator Hooper?
Yes.
Senator Leak? Senator Osgood? Senator Pasadomo?
Yes.
Senator Polsky? Senator Trumbull?
Yes.
Senator Burton?
Yes.
Chair Yarbrough?
Yes.
8 yeas, 1 nay.
By your vote, CS for SB 762 is reported favorably.
Thank you, Vice Chair Burton. We will now take up tab 2, which is Senate Bill 16 by Senator Roussan. This relates to relief of Heriberto A. Sanchez Mayan by the City of St. Petersburg. Senator Roussan, good afternoon, and you're recognized to explain the bill.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, and thank you for agendaing this bill. Senate Bill 16 is an uncontested local claims bill against the City of St. Petersburg for $2.3 million. The uncontroverted facts are that on June 8, 2023, a City of St. Petersburg police officer found Mr. Sanchez Mayan asleep during the daytime around 10 o'clock in the morning. It was at a park that was registered as a daytime only park. After awakening him, he was unlawfully arrested for misdemeanor trespassing. While he was at all times compliant and responsive to law enforcement, they proceeded to place him in handcuffs using a metal belly chain, restricting his ability to brace or protect himself. Thereafter, they placed him in an unrestrained, without a seatbelt, bench in the back of the van. On the way to the jail, the van stopped short suddenly for a red light, sending Mr. Sanchez flying headfirst into the bulkhead, where he remained motionless on the floor. He was still unconscious upon arrival at the jail, and instead of seeking medical help, law enforcement continued to try to wake him, and when those efforts failed, they dragged him out of the van by his ankles, causing his head to strike the van's rear door, bumper, and ultimately the cement floor. He was eventually transported to Tampa General Hospital, where it was discovered that he had sustained catastrophic injuries, including fractures that resulted in requiring a double above-the-knee leg amputations, rendering him an incomplete quadriplegic. The City of St. Petersburg agreed to settle the case for $2.5 million. The special master held a hearing on this matter back in October and reported the case favorably. I'm asking for your favorable support on this claims bill.
Thank you, Senator Roussan, for explaining the bill. Senators, any questions on the bill? Any questions? Okay, seeing no questions, we have one appearance form, Dan Faherty. Ms. Faherty? You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, ladies and gentlemen of the committee. My name is Dan Faherty. I'm counsel for Heriberto Sanchez Mayan. Mr. Mayan and his older sister, Elsa Hernandez, who literally is the only reason he is still alive today, would both be here if it was in any way possible for him to travel. It is simply not possible for him, as the senator explained, being an incomplete quadriplegic and without his lower extremities, he's basically bound to a bed for the rest of his life. He is very grateful for not only the senator's sponsorship of this bill, but your consideration. And if you have any questions for me, I'd be more than happy to answer them.
Thank you, Ms. Faherty. Appreciate it. We have no additional appearance forms. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Senators wishing to debate on the bill. Any debate? President Gates, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll do this once at the beginning of the session, so you'll never have to hear me again. I believe that we've done a poor job in establishing a claims bill process. I take part of the blame for that. I believe that we should have and still could raise sovereign immunity limits, and we should not be relitigating these cases in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee when these cases have already been decided by a court. So consequently, I oppose the process by which we come to this this moment in time with this bill today. If I ever thought that there was a chance that this bill would not pass, I would vote for it because I believe that the person involved, the victim, deserves recompense. But I will vote no today, Mr. Chair, solely as a symbol of my opposition to the way that we've mishandled claims bills and the way that we continue to mishandle them. But with that, I respectfully thank the senator for his presentation and let him know that I, if there was any way that your bill would fail as a consequence of my vote, I would change my vote. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, President Gates. Additional debate? Okay, seeing none. Senator Roussan, you're recognized to close on the bill.
Wave close.
All right, Senator Roussan having waved close. Lisa, please call the roll on Senate Bill 16.
Senator Berman? Senator DeSigley? Senator Gates? Senator Hooper?
Yes.
Senator Leak? Senator Osgood?
Yes.
Senator Pasadomo?
Yes.
Senator Polsky?
Yes.
Senator Trumbull?
Yes.
Senator Burton?
Yes.
Chair Yarbrough?
Yes.
9 yeas, 1 nay.
Thank you, Lisa. By your vote, Senate Bill 16 will be reported favorably.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Senator. Thank you. At this time, we will go back to tab one, and we will take up Senate Bill 14 related to relief of Jose Correa by Miami-Dade County by Senator Rodriguez. Senator Rodriguez, good afternoon, and you are recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Vice Chair, members of this committee. Senate Bill 14 is a settled claims bill for the relief of Jose Correa for injuries sustained due to the negligence of Miami-Dade County. Mr. Correa was lawfully crossing Southwest 40th Street and at the intersection with Lejeune Road. A Miami-Dade bus driver failed to observe Mr. Correa in the crosswalk while making a left turn, causing a collision. Miami-Dade County has admitted fault in the incident and settled with Mr. Correa without a trial. This claims bill is for $4.1 million and is supported by both the claimant and Miami-Dade County, and that is the bill.
Thank you, Senator Rodriguez, for explaining the bill. Senators, any questions? Questions on the bill? Seeing none, we have one appearance form. Albert Bolito waving in support, representing Mr. Jose Correa. Thank you. No additional appearance form. Senators wishing to debate on the bill? Seeing no debate, Senator Rodriguez, you're recognized to close.
Wave close.
Senator Rodriguez having waved close. Lisa, please call the roll on Senate Bill 14.
Senator Berman? Senator DeSigley?
Yes.
Senator Gates?
Yes.
Senator Hooper?
Yes.
Senator Leak? Senator Osgood?
Yes.
Senator Pasadomo?
Yes.
Senator Polsky? Senator Trumbull?
Yes.
Senator Burton?
Yes.
Chair Yarbrough?
Yes.
9 yeas, 1 nay.
Thank you, Lisa. By your vote, Senate Bill 14 will be reported favorably. And Senator Rodriguez, I believe you're going to stay with us to present under tab three. Members, we're moving to Senate Bill 24. And this is filed by Senator Gruters, but Senator Rodriguez will present on his behalf. This is relief of Lourdes Latour and Edward Latour by Miami-Dade County. Senator Rodriguez, you're recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, this is an uncontested claims bill for local funds in the amount of $500,000 payable from unencumbered funds from Miami-Dade County based on a settlement agreement between Lourdes and Edward Latour and Miami-Dade County, and that is the bill.
Thank you, Senator Rodriguez. Questions? Senators on the bill, any questions? Okay, seeing none, we have no appearance form. Senators wishing to debate? And we have no debate. Senator Rodriguez, you're recognized to close.
Wave close.
Senator Rodriguez having waved close. Lisa, please call the roll on Senate Bill 24.
Senator Berman? Senator DeSigley?
Yes.
Senator Gates?
Yes.
Senator Hooper?
Yes.
Senator Leak? Senator Osgood?
Yes.
Senator Pasadomo?
Yes.
Senator Polsky?
Yes.
Senator Trumbull?
Yes.
Senator Burton?
Yes.
Chair Yarbrough?
Yes.
9 yeas, 1 nay.
Thank you. By your vote, Senate Bill 24 will be reported favorably.
Thank you,
Senator Rodriguez. At this time, members, we'll turn to tab four, and we'll take up Senate Bill 208 related to land use and development regulations by Senator McClain. Senator McClain, Happy New Year, and I do see we have a late-filed strike-all amendment to the bill. Is there any objection to taking up the late-filed amendment? I don't see any, so we will move to amendment barcode 378440. By Senator McClain, and you are recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Senators. Happy New Year to all of you. Good to see you. Senate Bill 208, the strike all for that, is a negotiated compromise amongst all the key stakeholders that had interest in it. It will ensure that development application fees are transparent, cost-based, and tied to direct and reasonable indirect indirect review costs. Sorry, I thought that said revenue for a minute. Review cost published on the fee schedule and not based on project valuation sets objective compatibility standards for residential projects within the same zoning and future land use category. And it does include carve outs for PUDs and master plan communities and historic districts. That is the bill.
Okay, thank you, Senator McClain, for explaining the bill. Senators, any questions on the bill? I'm sorry, the strike call. Any questions on the strike call amendment? Okay, seeing none, we have some appearance forms on the amendment. First, Edward Briggs, representing Highland Homes. Waving in support, thank you, sir. Chadwick Leonard, on behalf of 1,000 Friends of Florida. While he's making his way up, we have a few that are waiving their speaking time in support. Kevin Coyne, Florida Stormwater Association. Courtney Mooney, Florida Association of Counties, waiving in support. Both of those, Rebecca O'Hara, waiving in support. She's with the Florida League of Cities. Elizabeth Alvey, waiving in support on behalf of Audubon, Florida. And Anna Grace DiPaolo, Florida chapter of the American Planning Association, also waiving in support. Mr. Leonard, good afternoon. You're recognized.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Chair. Chad Leonard, 1,000 Friends of Florida. 1,000 Friends of Florida is a growth management and conservation group that has been active since 1986. We advocate for planning for building better communities and saving special places in our rapidly growing state. 1,000 Friends of Florida is in support of this amendment. We appreciate and show thanks to the sponsor for bringing this forth. We are glad that of all the work that he did with some of the stakeholders, listening to some of our concerns and making sure that local control and the voice of the citizens are being heard. Thank you again.
Thank you. Thanks for being with us. We have no additional appearance forms on the amendment. Senators, any debate on the amendment? Okay. Seeing no debate, Senator McClain, you recognize to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senators, thank you for allowing me to present the bill today. I want to just say to all the stakeholders, I appreciate it. They did all the hard work on this, and I tried to just stay out of the way and let them get to a good place on it, and I think that's where we're at, so I'd appreciate your support today.
That was a great close on the bill. We're on the amendment.
Oh, sorry.
We'll adapt it over in just a moment, so that's okay. So, Senator McClain, having closed, all in favor of the amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? By your action, the amendment carries. We're now back on the bill as amended. Senators, any questions? Seeing no questions, a couple of appearance forms. Colton Medill, Florida Chamber of Commerce, waiving in support. And Ivan Fernandez, AARP, also waiving in support. Any debate? Senators, any debate? Okay, seeing none. Senator McClain, would you like to use the same close that you did?
I would. Yes.
All right. Senator McClain, duplicating his close from the amendment, he is now closed on the bill, and we will call the roll. Lisa, please call the roll on CS for Senate Bill 208.
Senator Berman? Senator DeSigley?
Yes.
Senator Gates?
Yes.
Senator Hooper?
Yes.
Senator Leak?
Yes.
Senator Osgood?
Yes.
Senator Pasadomo?
Yes.
Senator Polsky?
Yes.
Senator Trumbull? Senator Burton?
Yes.
Chair Yarbrough?
Yes.
10 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you, Lisa. By your vote, CS for Senate Bill 208 will be reported favorably. Thank you, Senator McClain. Does any senator wish to be recorded as voting on bills before the committee today? Okay, Senator DeSegley, recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Chair Trumbull, for telling me to wake up. So I'm in the affirmative on tab 5, which is Senate Bill 762.
Thank you. Without objection, we will show that motion adopted. Anyone else? Anyone? Okay, thank you. Seeing no further business before the committee, Senator Hooper, Chair Hooper, moves we adjourn. Without objection, the motion is adopted. We're adjourned. Thank you.